how did L1011 come together?
Oh, I wish it was a really entertaining story, but Tim and I met at a fight club, and that's about all I can say about it. It's just not that entertaining because I can't tell the story.
Because any more would be breaking the rule, right?
Yeah, yeah. No, the truth is we were in a band together. That it was a four-piece band that it just didn't work out. But I really liked Tim's playing. I liked that he played electronic drums, and he made me laugh a lot. So when I knew I wanted to form L1011, I called him up to see what he was doing, and here we are, almost 10 years later.
The name L1011 has an aviation background?
Yeah, that's me. I'm a helicopter pilot, and the name of the band is in reference to an old passenger plane.
Which is quite interesting, because when I am on a plane, and I don't mind flying, but I hate turbulence, and when I start to experience any kind of turbulence, I put your music on my headphones.
And the song is My Only Swerving.
Right.
Oh, God, it's totally ironic, yet not ironic. I don't know. I don't even know what to make of that.
It's so calming to me. Is My Only Swerving, what is the inspiration for that song?
That's actually nothing to do with flying. It's as a lot of people like to say, a shout out or a dedication to my favorite poet, believe it or not, William Stafford. He wrote a poem called Traveling Through the Dark that for me is probably the best poem ever written or something. And My Only Swerving is a line from it. So it's a dedication to him, which is, it might be the first song that was ever dedicated to a poet before. Definitely the first instrumental song, I think.
Well, if we're going to talk about shout-outs, there's a song on your latest CD that's kind of a shout-out to Ian MacKay.
Yeah, that's right. he was right. that's about, a couple things. One, there was an old Fugazi song where he sings, or at least I think it was him who sang it. It might be the other guy, G or Guy or whatever his name is. But anyway, the lyric was, I hate the sound of guitars. And while he's singing that, he's playing a guitar. But I understand, at least I think, what his sentiment was, of just being kind of tired of hearing the same stuff over and over. So it was that, and also, they were doing the DIY thing long before it was, I won't say easy to do now, but it's much easier to do now than it was then. And that's what his being right was about. So we've been doing things on our own. On our first record, we were signed, but we found that after that, when we started doing things on our own, things got a lot better, and we were better at it than we thought than our record label. So we started our own label and started doing it ourselves. So that's what that song title is about.
Because, yeah, when Ian MacKay was with Fugazi, I mean, they were, like you said, the originators of doing it on their own and doing it the way they wanted to do it.
Yeah, and they were well known for that and outspoken about it, which I thought was great. That was a really big inspiration, and I took a while for it to sink in for me, because I've been doing this a long time, and I've had 7 record deals, I think, when I last counted. And none of them seemed to particularly work out that well. But when we started doing L1011 stuff on our own and having our own label, that's when things took off. So I was like, see, he was right, that crazy guy from D.C.
Now, being an instrumental band, how easy or difficult is it? You just talked about your influences. And, a lot of people might say, there are no words. I don't get it. Where does the music come from? What were they thinking when they were composing the song? What is it like for you?
I really don't think it's any different from someone who's writing music with lyrics. I mean, Beethoven would write music about something or dedicated to somebody or inspired by somebody or something. And it's the same thing. The only way people really will know what those influences were for those songs or what the dedications were or whatever is by us being interviewed, I guess. Unless it's one of the song titles, that's really obvious. But so, I don't really think it's that different. And in a way, it maybe opens things up to people more because there aren't lyrics. Like, we have a big followings overseas in other countries where people, you know, their main language is not English. So they're not stopped by English lyrics.
The first time I heard your music was in the documentary about the font, Helvetica.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I went to Google as soon as the movie ended, and then I went to iTunes and found you out. Have you heard of other people finding out about you through that documentary?
Yes, your story is incredibly boring. I've heard it so many times. No, so it really is. That movie was really all his movies. We've done three movies with him now, and every show we play, literally every show, at least one person comes up and tells us that they found out about us from Helvetica. So it's been huge for us. I think that's part of why also we're big overseas. So those movies were successful overseas. So those have been great for us and were a lot of fun to work on because, you know, I did some original music for those films too. And I really, really like working with Gary. So hopefully we'll get to do more with him in the future, though. He says he's finished now with design documentaries. He did his trifecta and he's done. So we'll see what he comes up with next.
Now, in your shows, you're playing the double guitar. You're looping live. There's drumming. How do you do so much?
I don't know. I mean, I get asked that a lot, particularly by other musicians who say they've tried to do it and they can't pull it off. I think we just did it through sheer determination and will. I mean, when we decided very early on that we wanted to keep this just a duo, and, you know, at the beginning, the loops were pretty bad. You know, we had a lot of train wrecks. And even at some of the early shows, we'd have to just stop a song halfway through and try again because we did such a bad job of it. But, you know, we've been touring around and doing this for a while. I mean, we just kept at it and kept touring and touring and touring and touring. It's just gotten better and better at it. Now we're all right. So I don't know. Now we're kind of used to it. But we still have our problems, though. We've just gotten better at hiding them.
That's part of the live experience, though, right?
Pardon?
Isn't that part of the live experience?
Well, yeah. You know, one of my friends said he actually likes it when we make mistakes because it's when, you know, if you're watching a tightrope walker walking across a wire that's up really high and he just walks straight across, it's not really that exciting. But if he starts to lose his balance, then that's when it gets exciting. Like, oh, my God, he's going to make it, that kind of thing. So I guess that's a pretty good analogy for what we do.
I know that Tim is the drummer, but he has written on your website that there is a particular set of drumsticks that are his favorites.
Yeah.
The Johnny Rab Jim Keltner model.
Right.
And I'm just, I don't know, you probably can't answer for him, but to the non-initiated, to the non-drummer, to the non-musician, it's hard to understand what would make one pair of drumsticks so much better than another.
I agree. I have no idea, but he's right here. Let me,
okay.
let's ask him. Hang on.
Okay, sure.
Hello.
Hello, Tim. This is Kyle and Ithy at KUAF in Fayetteville.
Hello.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good. I was wondering, because you mention on your website at l1011.com that there are Johnny Rab Jim Keltner sticks that were your favorite.
Yes.
And we admit, Ithy and I, that we're not musicians, we're not drummers, we're the uninitiated. We don't understand what could be so much better about a pair of sticks than all the others.
I know, it sounds absurd, but it's weird. It's like just everything about them, like the length, the thickness, the way they feel. It's just the way they feel, really, is what it boils down to. And there are, like, subtle differences between certain sticks. I found something that's suitable, but it's not quite the same. It's a little bit heavier. Like, the ones I use now are a little bit heavier. So when they're, like, worn down, the ones I use now, when they're worn down, feel exactly like the other ones did. But, you know, they don't feel like that when you buy them new. So, yeah, there's just weird little things about sticks that kind of just feel the way they feel.
Is there excitement for you and Christian when you start a new tour, or is there a little bit of, you know, it is, after all, a vocation, a job?
I guess there's very little of that, like, size. It's kind of more, like, exciting. Maybe a little bit of nerves because we're trying to play some new stuff that we don't quite have together. Or there's like new production stuff, like, you know, lighting and stuff like that, video that we've been taking out sometimes that sometimes gives us knots in our stomachs because we don't quite have them down. You know, you get that kind of stuff down a few weeks, a week or so into a tour or whatever, but like when you first leave, you're just like, ah, this first one's going to be rough, most likely. So anyway, but I know me personally, I don't ever like dread going on tour. I kind of love it.
Right.
And once you leave, you're, you know, it's kind of cool.
Then you're in the flow.
Like, no matter what you had forgotten at home, you're not getting it. So
right.
So you just got to live with it.
Ithi, you had a question for Tim?
Yes. Now, you've been compared over and over again to Rat-A-Tat and Sigur Rós. Who would you rather be compared to?
Out of those two or in general?
In general.
You know, I don't know. People compare you to people hear things that I don't necessarily hear. So it's kind of hard to say. I would like the sort of arrogant musician answer would be like to say nobody. But I get why people make those comparisons so people can kind of get a better idea of what a band sounds like without actually hearing them. But, I mean, really, it just boils down to listening to it. And, you know, it sounds like what we sound like. And those guys sound like the way they sound.
Well,
so, but I get it. You know, I get the comparison.
Finally, when you play at the Lightbulb Club on Fayetteville, that Sunday night show, there will be some of us in the crowd who are very familiar with your music, some who are not. Does it matter to you whether you have an audience that is more likely to know your music ahead of time or less likely?
I guess it really doesn't matter because I don't really think of it. But it's people that know it is kind of cool because they'll say songs and they'll kind of like request stuff like when you see them before the show and ask if you're playing that. But it's also cool if people haven't heard it just because, you know, when you talk to them at the end of after the show or something, it's like, well, it sounds like there's more than two people doing that, or, you know, or there's the people that are in between that kind of know the music but don't know it's really two people doing it. So, those people that kind of know the stuff but don't know it's done like that. And I don't know. It's all good to me. They're all there. They're all at the show. So I'm cool with that.
We look forward to you and Christian playing L1011 at the Lightbulb Club. And
This Sunday.
Thank you very much. Thanks for calling.
All right. Tell Christian we said goodbye.
All right, we will.
All right.